Hey Dembe Loyals, this is Hisham Taufik. Always remember that you are breathing for a reason. You are listening to Blacklist Exposed on Golden Spiral Media.
It's the final countdown before season 4 of The Blacklist begins on NBC, now at its new time of 10, 9 central on Thursday nights. Welcome back to The Blacklist Exposed. I am Agent Troy Heinrichs.
And now all I've got in my mind is that song.
It's the final countdown.
And I'm Agent Aaron Peterson, and guess what? We're back. Yay! I don't know which way you take that.
You dum-dum.
No, you can't use my line, Chief. I have got more requests for calling you a dum-dum over the course of this summer than I have for anything else of any podcasting venture I've ever been a part of.
They were asking for shirts.
Yeah, I think people think you're a dum-dum. They understand where I'm coming from.
It's okay. I own it.
Also got a lot of requests to not bring up Mommy Gate. I think that's pretty funny. Or not Mommy Gate. Mommy Gate.
Yeah, Mommy Gate.
Not bringing Mommy Gate. Yep. You're welcome. Finally, let's get into the episode. Show notes and other intel for episode 60 of The Blacklist Exposed, recorded on September 10th, 2016, can be found where? TheBlacklistExposed.com.
It's a great site. You should check it out. We have a great but quick show for you this week. We want to refresh your memory about our characters. That's the best part about our podcast is that we don't go blow by blow, point by point throughout the TV episodes. We talk about our characters, and we'll tell you a little bit about what we loved about them in season 3. Then we'll talk about what we want to expect from them in season 4. Plus, how are they going to react to Liz being alive? What?
She's alive?
That's what I hear.
Okay. Well, plus, we're going to take a few questions from all of you, our special agents. Plus, we will talk about some shenanigans. I love that word, that Troy and I were involved with over this past summer. Later on in the show, I also want to mention that if you want a full-on recap of how the season ended, you can listen to our, what episode was that, 58?
Yes, 58.
Where we did a really, I like to say, a professional recap of the season and of that particular finale. So that'll help you get caught up if you're trying to remember exactly what happened. And also, check out Netflix. Season 3 is on Netflix, man.
Yeah, and I was going to say so professional, in fact, that John Bokenkamp himself stopped by that episode to share his thoughts on Season 3 as well.
Yeah, which you strategically planned when I wasn't available. I'm just saying. Whatever. I'm not bitter.
At least you got to talk to him the first time we talked to him, unless he would think you're a myth.
I'm sorry. Are you still talking?
You're like a unicorn.
I don't know why you're still talking. We should preface, if you've never listened to this podcast, I do apologize for the banter you don't want to hear, but we should explain exactly how our podcast, Troy kind of alluded to, but we do really take pride in addressing the show from a spoiler-free standpoint. So we're only going to talk about the episodes as they air. We're not going to talk about anything that's on the internet telling people exactly what happens. It's just not something we do here at The Blacklist Exposed. And when we talk about each episode, if you listen every week, which drops every Saturday roughly after the episode airs, you know, unless there's an issue, we talk about the show, the crux of the plot of that episode, and then each individual, where the characters are at the end of the episode, that sort of thing. So hopefully that helps you, gives you an idea of what kind of podcast it is and what we're going to do going forward. Plus, we have an amazing interview for you coming up soon.
Yes, we do. But first, back by popular demand, the profiling questions of the week. We're going to start off season 4 with a doozy. If you could get the answer to one question this season, one, don't write a list, don't make a bunch of bullets, one question, what answer do you want this season?
You just know that everybody, well, here's my top three. Every time you say, here, pick one, everybody always picks like three or four. Well, here's my honorable mentions.
I only have one question in 27 parts. Or was it 47 parts? I forget. It's been a long time since I've seen Back to School.
Well, by the end of this episode, I want to know what yours is. So you got time to think about it.
Gosh. Okay.
Okay.
Brain's moving.
All right. Now, the favorite part of the show, the characters. That's why we come back each and every week. We're going to break them down for you on this week's case profile. Okay, let's talk about these characters. What did you like about the characters this past season? How do you think they're going to react to Liz being back? And where do you want the characters to go? Let's start with Mr. Amir Arison, Aram. Aram, Troy, Tell us where Aram went in season 3 and what you hope to see from him in season 4.
Well, first and foremost, at the end of season 3, he went to the t-shirt store and he actually got t-shirts printed up that say hashtag Aram Dorable. I've heard that so much over the summer after we coined it on the podcast. It was so awesome. Aram had a really great year last year. I think we saw his character probably develop the most throughout season 3.
I would agree.
All the way from, you know, he had to protect Liz when Liz was in the box with the director episodes, his relationship with Red. I mean, if you go all the way back to season 1, when literally Red and Aram are sitting across from each other, he's trying to find the trace money for the bank guy when he's trying to find the mole to get to Mr. Gray. And he's like, if I can put this gun together before you get that. And that's kind of like their first relationship together. That relationship has evolved so much. We see Red showing up at Aram's apartment. Liz was taking a shower at that point. And then we have them come to the grave site last season where he says, if it wasn't for you, Aram, I'd be staring at another body in this grave. Yep. I'm indebted to you. Which, of course, that plays on later on when Aram actually comes to Dom's house and calls his chit and says, hey, you need to come back. You need to fix this. We can't do this without you. And just the respect between the two of these, I think that's going to grow in season 4. I think we have the situation now where Liz has been captured. Red doesn't know what to do to get her back. He's in a foreign country, might not have all the resources he needs. But if you're a computer guy, you can hack into a whole bunch of stuff and figure that out and kind of guide from afar. I think he's going to lean heavily on Aram as we look for Liz in season 4.
I like that you used called in a chit, which is something my grandpa used to say. So thanks for bringing that back.
No problem.
I'm just happy to see. I want to see more of the relationship between he and Samar develop. I think a lot of people do. I forgive her for Rustler. Come on, you get it. I mean, the guy's got perfect hair. What are you going to do?
Exactly.
You can't turn that down. And I agree with you 100%. His character has developed the most. I think, honestly, out of everybody, including Red and Liz, he's just, because the first season, he was really just the computer guy. He was, what was that guy from Alias? I know you know.
Marshall.
He was Marshall from Alias. Didn't really have a lot to do except exposition and solve problems that needed to be solved right away. And then season 2, he kind of grew a little bit. And then season 3, I mean, he's become a fully fledged character that people are dying to see more of. I mean, when I'm talking to fans, when I'm talking to you guys, everybody loves Aram. Everybody. And that's a testament to Amir's performance. I think he's really done a lot. I said this a lot last season where, for me, he oftentimes is the heart of the show because he's the everyman. He's the guy in the middle. He's the guy that's not, you know, being crushed like Liz is, and he's not doing the crushing like Red is. He's the normal, everyday guy stuck in the middle of this, and he cares about everybody, and he wants to help everybody, and he's good, and he's decent in a world full of darkness. It's just, he's the character that many people just love to follow, and that's a character I want to see develop more. And it's not, I don't want to see the typical TV tropes where you turn him dark and that sort of thing. If they need to put him through the ringer a little bit, I'm fine with that. But I don't want his character to ever start sliding down a dark path or anything. I just think he is who he needs to be. Just maybe open him up a little bit more.
Yeah, and he's also really great for the kids because he's all about safety protocols, wearing his bike helmet anytime he rides his bike. Very, very important to wear your bike helmet. So great role model, Aram. Thank you.
I don't wear a bike helmet when I ride I wear it when I ride my motorcycle, sorry. But when I ride a bicycle, I don't wear a helmet. Does that make me a bad person?
It does. You never know. You like bike over a root and fall down or something.
Man, that's not cool. I'll tell you more about that story later, but that's not cool, man. Everybody remember this moment, because this is later on. I'm going to kick Troy in his ass for that. All right. Let's talk about Wrestler.
Yes.
Mr. Hair Don't Move. Mr. Doing His Job.
Mr. Someone that actually got put through the ringer last season a little bit, because he did have to, remember, take over for Cooper's job at the end of season 2. And he's in charge of running the whole show, and you think that he'd do a great job at it, but it seems a little bit stressful for him. Maybe a little Peter Principled at this point.
Yeah, and I'm curious. One thing I will say is I don't think Wrestler got enough good stuff to do last season. I think some of his screen time was used by Tom. Which, I mean, I'm not saying it didn't work or anything. I'm just saying I did sense that. I felt like there were more than a few episodes where I felt like Wrestler, where Diego's character, was reduced more to just doing his job, literally, where he's just the guy showing up, doing the job, and then he's done for the episode. He didn't get a lot to do. I would like this season to go back to his character, not the addiction stuff. I'm so over that. But also, I mean, we saw some darkness from him. I would like to go back to that and see a little bit more of that, I think.
I just want to point out that it was 4 minutes into the show when the first time of Tom came up and thought, oh my gosh, Tom had too much screen time in season three.
I love Ryan. That's not what I'm saying. Shut up.
I like Ryan.
That's why I don't talk to you, man.
I love Ryan, too. There was a really funny, what was it? There was a picture of the cast. It was going around Twitter last season, and the picture had everybody's cast members, and then it was like, what we expected from season three, and then the next image, it was Ryan Eggle's face on every character.
this is what we got from season three. I don't think it was quite that bad.
I don't think it was quite that bad either.
Yeah, there was a lot more Tom than I expected, than I anticipated.
Absolutely.
It's not necessarily a bad thing, though. I think Tom's, they really have made him a cool character.
They made him so cool, he got his own show.
Theoretically, yeah. And we're going to talk a little bit about that later. I'm really curious how they're going to handle that, but we'll talk about that in a minute.
I did love wrestler's character's growth this season, though, because he did have to step into the chair, and he needed to figure out what he had to do in order to, you know, be friends with Liz as his partner, but at the same time still do his job holding up the law. And I think that he handled that very carefully. He wanted to make sure that he was bringing Liz in to protect Liz. It wasn't, I'm bringing you in because I think you're guilty. So I think that was really an interesting characterization for Wrestler, in that he knew the difference between what was actually happening and what really was being a setup in play. Although he was just as gullible as anybody, because he was totally wooed by Laurel Hitchens' character, thought she was completely safe, completely sane, and then turns out baked goods get you every single time.
I knew she was dirty first time I saw her. Go listen to the podcast. I called it.
Yes, you did.
Wrestler, I do want to say the first, however long, how many episodes were there? There was like 9 or 10 before Liz finally got brought in. I do think that was a good arc for Wrestler, because we got to see him trying to do the right. He believed in the system. He believed in what he was doing. He believed the system would support bringing Liz in and doing the right thing. And it failed. It really did. I think he learned that, and he started to go outside the box a little bit, which I really liked. And by the end of this season, I think he legitimately felt betrayed. But I'm not sure if they're going to play with that or if he's going to understand where Liz is coming from. What do you think?
That's a really great point, because he comes in at the end of the season there, and he's like, Liz is alive. And the way he said it, it's still open for debate. I still say at some point in me thinks that we had Kaplan talking to somebody on the phone before Red shows up in the disco delivery room. And I want to say she was talking to somebody, either Cooper or Wrestler. Had to be talking to somebody, because the way Wrestler reacted at the ambulance when Liz died, it seemed like he was in on the plan. He didn't seem that broken up about it. And I don't know if that was just him doing his job and trying to be stoic, and he grieves in a different way later on. But just his reaction when then she's alive and comes in and says, hey, Cooper, Liz is alive, also doesn't seem like he's got a lot of emotion tied to it. This is someone that's his partner, someone that we speculated on this very podcast might even be a love interest at the end of season one. And for his emotion not to register or shed a tear or anything like that, especially when he was like fighting over the office, and like, why are you cleaning out the office so quickly? Rah, 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 rah. I think that
I don't recall the rah, 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 rah.
Cooper had to step in and be like, dude, take a chill. I think Wrestler is a very interesting character. And I know you brought up the addiction thing, but this is something we actually saw him go to a Narcotics Anonymous meeting in season three, where Red pulls him out to talk to him.
Yep. So I'm good. Stop there.
They keep bringing that storyline back up. I'm just saying, this is one of these like things where you get betrayed this badly, it could drive you to do some bad stuff.
I don't like that. I'll tell you why I don't like it. It's a cliched story element. You know, I'm not saying addiction isn't real. Obviously, it is. It just, for storytelling, it's a cliched story element to lead a character back down a dark path. If he's going to go dark, I want him to do it on his own accord. I don't want him to have the, I don't want to say out because it's not an out, but I don't want him to have the appearance of an out by blaming addiction for it. You know what I mean? I want him to just go dark. And let's see where he goes on his own, not because of addiction. That's why it becomes like an easy out and an easy excuse when it's all said and done.
But at the same time, I think that'd be different if he didn't have an addiction problem to begin with, and then he turned to an addiction issue because of the things he was dealing with. That, I think, is cheesy. But the fact that he's been an addict this entire time, it is who he is. It is part of his character. And because of the things he's gone through with the box with Red in season one, and then losing his fiance and Mako Tanita and all this other stuff, I think going back to an addiction place isn't really that awful because it is part of his character. We just don't see it as often because he's been trying to kick the habit for three seasons.
Okay. All right. That works. I don't necessarily agree with you, but I see what you're saying.
Yeah, yeah.
We got too many characters for me to tell you how wrong you are for much longer.
Okay.
So let's go to Samar, Miss. God bless her in the dress code. She is a tough, no-nonsense, speaking of stoic, she's very stoic, yet still somehow brings character to a role that doesn't have a lot of screen time, but she really makes her presence known every time she's on screen. So where did we leave her off? What did you like from seeing from her in season three?
Well, the best part about season three was the fact that we got the answer to what happened to her brother in Zal Ben Hassan. One of probably the best episodes of the season, because you just had that stoic Samar trying to hold back in, and she does kind of like that, it's all yours, you know, trying to hold it back in. And I think that really showed us into part of her character, that she doesn't have to be this stoic, you know, saving someone's life while getting punched in the face from the people that were part of Scotty Hargrave's group. I think the one thing that I want to see out of Samar this year was she alluded to some really interesting things about her relationship with Liz. And she talked about how, you know, she didn't want to be a mother, that her career was her whole thing. And now that Liz has baby Agnes and Liz died and now Liz is back alive, how does that impact Samar in thinking like, oh man, like she did this to protect her kid. Does she respect that? Is she angry about that because she didn't want to be a mother, so she doesn't care one way or another about the kid? I think that's going to play on her psychological profile a little bit in season four as she wrestles with that conversation and that concept.
Very interesting. I like that. I really like how they brought the brother in and they show a completely different side of Samar than we have seen. And it really exposed her vulnerability, which never was on the show. I mean, you rarely see her vulnerable. And you know, some people would probably argue the sex scene between her and Wrestler is some kind of vulnerability. I don't think it was. I think it was more of a release of tension. It was more of a, this has been a very stressful time. Let's work off that stress. That's what I see it as. I see it as a normal reaction and interaction between two people that work together and were stressed out. I see that that way. I don't see that as vulnerability. The brother thing I see is very vulnerable. And yet she still did, in her mind, what was the right thing, which goes to her character. I think that's very commendable. So this season, I kind of want to see, I mean, everybody, you know, they want to see Samar and Aram get together. I don't think it's going to happen. You might see like hints of it, but Blacklist is a show where it might toy with it, but it's not going to put them in a full-blown relationship. I don't think. It would be cool if they did. I think it would be fine. It would work to see that, you know, yin and yang, how she's tough and strong, and he's, you know, he's Aram. So I think those two would work well together. I want to see more of her and Wrestler as partners. I kind of like where Liz is now, you know, where she's kind of like the middleman. She's not so much the partner. She's more involved in the direct cases from a Red angle than she is from on an FBI angle. I kind of like that more, I think. So I like her and Samar and Wrestler being partnered up. I want to see more of that. They can do that. They can play with some of the tension, some of the cracks at each other over the tryst and how he fired her the next day. Which, by the way, that was great. Some of her attacks on Wrestler throughout the season after that are some of my favorite moments of the show.
Oh yeah, it's comedic relief at the same time. It's very poignant, right? Very stern same time. And it was funny when you think about how many times he was kind of cavalier. That you remember that one episode, like right after it happened. I think it was either director part two, where he like shoots the one person like right in front of her. It's like, you could have shot me. And they're like arguing back and forth like they're an old married couple. I thought that was kind of funny because they're not. And she clearly said, "You suck in bed." And they kind of left it at that and moved on. And then you have the scene at the funeral where they're smoking weed, all three of them in the car together. Like, talk about awkward, right?
Yep.
You know what would be fun to see, though, with this? Because it's been building up. They even teased it with the Ford commercials about how she's driving around and she's going to go meet this guy with a flower. And then it ends up being Aram at the restaurant.
Right.
It'd be interesting to see the two of them in some kind of like close panic situation. Almost like, you know how Ansel Garrick and you had Aram and Liz working together to try to get to the box. But
yes.
But that kind of concept, but tighter, closer space. Something like they're trapped or kidnapped, you buried alive or something. And so you can actually have that tension between the two of them finally build out and be done. Because I don't want to see the back and forth anymore. The back and forth is there. Yes, we know Aram likes Samar. Samar may or may not like Wrestler or Aram, depending on how she feels. I just want something to spark it once and for all and just be done with it and move on.
Okay. We'll see what happens. It's coming soon.
We will.
Now, how about Cooper? Mr. kind of like the dad of the team. Where do you... I mean, he was honestly betrayed. He looked very betrayed at the end of the season. Because, I mean, he really felt like Liz was almost like his surrogate daughter to some degree. And she really pulled one over on him.
Yeah, I remember
definitely
that.
Definitely looks that way anyway.
Yeah, remember how that you, eulogy. The eulogy was like, you know, we know where Liz is. She's right here.
Yep. Yeah. Got you right in the gut.
Oh, my gosh. Just the emotion he gave in that speech. Like, you really felt what Cooper was feeling in that moment. And mm-hmm. then to have it come back and be like, hey, Coop, Liz is alive. Coop's like, what? I think he's going to be super pissed off.
Hey, Coop.
Yeah. Super pissed off. Like, Wrestler, I think, will probably get a round of, you know, hey, that wasn't cool kind of thing, but I'm glad you're okay. I think Cooper, this is where the, you know, this is twice now, right? At the end of season two, don't pull the trigger, Liz. Don't do it. And then here, I died and I'm back alive. That's twice Cooper's been pulled over the wolves by her. I think that's going to really strain their relationship.
Okay. I think that is going to be one of the most interesting aspects of the upcoming season, because I really felt they had one of the most solid relationships on the show, and that's a real test to somebody's relationship. I mean, to be deceived in that manner, I can't imagine how he would take it, how he would feel, and honestly, I'm really looking forward to see what they do with that character. I would like, I mean, is he back with Charlene now? I mean, do they really decide, or is he still kind of just toying with the idea?
Well, that was red, right? As he left the office, it's like, you know, apologize, you know, get back with Charlene, go home, don't sleep in this office.
Right, so, but I mean, he hasn't really, one way or the other, he's debating it still.
He's still debating it, yes. Absolutely. But yeah, and what would be great about Cooper, too, is this whole Liz situation, the fact that Liz felt like she had to do this to get away from Red. Mm-hmm. We still haven't explored the deeper backstory between Cooper and Red himself. So does this fake death now put even a larger strain in the Cooper-Red relationship? And will we get to explore that a little bit more in season four? That would be interesting.
I like where your head's at. How about Dembe? Let's talk about Dembe, one of our favorite characters who doesn't get a lot of screen time but makes every minute known. So what do you want to see, or where do we leave him off at, and what do you want to see this year?
I would really, gosh, it's so hard to say, but I would really have loved to have known if Wrestler shot Red when he was doing that assassination attempt, if Dembe just would have capped him right there.
Like, I think he would have. You doubt it?
I don't doubt it, but I want to say at the same time, there is that semblance of, remember Mombasa Cartel, where there's this guy who's literally in charge of everything that bad that happened to you. And yet at that moment, Dembe was still like, you know, Raymond, it's not worth it. And then, you know, I'm not going to kill him. And then Raymond's like, fine, I will. So even in that moment, this is the one man that scorned him. He was still able to forgive. So the question is, would he do that if Wrestler had pulled the trigger? Would he be able to be like, I don't like you. I'm going to hunt you down the rest of your life and make your life miserable, but I'm not going to kill you. Mm-hmm. I struggle with that if Dembe would have actually pulled the trigger. How loyal to Red is he in that regard?
I think he would have shot him in the face. That's what I think. No, you know what? I think he would shoot him in the knee, so he would fall to the ground and then shoot him in the face.
Right.
I totally, yeah. Dembe would have just capped him in a heartbeat and been like, all right, well, I guess I'm out of a job. I got to go hit the unemployment line.
Now you all know who Aaron hangs out with. He's got methods for his madness.
I'm not saying that that's how I would do it, but that is totally how I would do it. Yep. Yep. Hey, man, you shoot my boss. I've got a huge respect for my boss. Somebody needs to teach you a lesson.
No, we did meet.
A painful lesson.
We did meet his family, right? He's got a daughter and a granddaughter. Do you want to see them come back in? Yeah. Or did you like it, not like it?
I love it. I need more of that. I love, because it's not an aspect that you normally see in the henchman role. You know what I mean? Which is kind of, I mean, he's a bodyguard, henchman, you know, mercenary. He's a lot of things. One thing I really love is that they brought family into it. I didn't like that his family was used against him. And, you know, Eddie Gathegi, thanks for torturing the poor guy. But I think there needs to be some payback there as well. That's what I want to see this season. But I definitely want to see more of the family.
Little heads, fragile like eggshells. Love Mr. Solomon.
What was that? What was wow? What was that?
That's me like getting creeped out.
Sound like a seizure. Are you okay? You want to take a break?
Yeah,
my
no.
God, man.
It's early.
Okay, let's talk about Tommy Boy.
Everybody wants to.
Let's talk about Tom, who became the star of the show in the later half of season 3. What do you, where do we leave off with Tom, and what do you want to see from Tom in season 4?
Yeah, Tom was getting beat up by that bodyguard that decided that he likes putting people in trunks and going to meet people in secret. And so he tracks Tom down there with Baby Agnes looking on in the crib. And then we get to that same room later, and Tom and Baby Agnes are gone. So the real question is did Tom survive that fight? Is Tom out there in the wild in the middle of Cuba? And this becomes the question, right? What is he going to do to save Liz? Is he going to go to Red and get Red's help? Is he going to do it on his own? Is he going to call Scotty? And there's going to be some kind of crossover episode with his mommy, in case you didn't know. Mm-hmm. That's right. We found out who Tom's mom is last season. This is the one character that I'm kind of actually the most interested to see how this first 8 episodes go with him, because everything he's fought against with Reddington, I think they almost need to work together because he is limited in his resources. I think at the onset, they'll probably be apart, but I think the only way they're going to be able to save Liz is to get together.
I think, you know, the baby going to get snatched, right?
Yep.
Or was it snatched at the end of the season? I'm trying to remember.
We never really saw what happened to Agnes. So does Kirk have Agnes, or does whoever has Tom have Agnes? That's the question.
We didn't get a clear decision on that. So what I would like to see is actually the baby was taken, and we have to see Tom go on a Liam Neeson type mission. I want to see some Taken action, you know? And he just, you know, rips through Cuba, destroying all of our good relations that we finally have with him one by one. That's what I want to see.
Like a commando style, like just wipe out the whole compound?
Yeah. I want to see that. And you know what? I am totally on the opposite side of you for what I want out of him to do with Liz's situation. I mean, he can work with Red. That's great. But I want Liz to get out of there on her own. I don't want her to need Red. I don't want her to need Tom. I want Liz to get out of Cuba, or get out of Kirk's custody, whatever it is, on her own. Because at this point, you know, she's gotten saved a lot. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And she is a strong enough character. She's got enough training. She's been through enough hell. And now she's got the will of a mom who wants to get back to her baby. Let her get out. You know, the show is great at female characters. And I would like to see Liz take that next step to where, you know, because they kind of show her teetering between, is she going to be wrestler side of things, or is she going to be Red side of things? Is she going to fall in the nature of all good, or fall in the nature of, you know what, we'll do whatever we got to do to survive? And she's kind of right in the middle. And I want to see her take that next step to, I don't need you anymore to protect me, because I can protect myself. That's what I want to see. And to do that, Tom has to not save her. So it's important to me as a viewer, as Aaron, the viewer, for Tom to, you know, he can try. I would rather he was trying to get the baby back. I want my baby back, baby back. I want that to happen, as opposed to trying to save Liz.
I could buy into that. I could totally buy into that. I think that would be cool. Like, save the baby,
mm-hmm.
then save the mommy.
I would actually like to see Red. I mean, obviously, he's furious and he wants to save Liz. But I would prefer he and Red team up to save the baby, And then Liz saves herself, and then they meet up somewhere in the middle. That's what I would like to see. And, I mean, I'm still not a huge fan of Tom and Liz, but it's one of those things where I've just accepted. It's just it's a part of the show, and I don't hate it. I've never hated it. It just didn't work for me. So I'm just going to – this season, I plan on just letting it slide, and I'll just roll with it and see where they take it.
I like where your head's at.
Well, I don't have a choice.
Right.
It's not like they care what I think. So there we go. That's what we're going to do. And I'm really looking forward to his show because I do love Tom as a character. And they have made this weak-willed school teacher, and I don't – you know, they've turned him into Jason Bourne, and they've done a pretty good job with it. I mean, Ryan Eggold is pretty badass.
Well, remember, he was always Jason Bourne. He only played the character of a weak-willed school teacher.
Okay, well, I thought he was a weak school teacher. I thought he was underhanded, but I didn't think it was quite Jason Bourne. Now I think he's Jason Bourne. And he's done a great job with it. The ladies love – man, the ladies love Ryan.
Yes, they do.
My God, every time – how could you not like Liz and Tom? Just look at them. I'm like, well, I don't base relationships just on appearance. I'm deeper than that.
Let's be clear. We don't like Liz and Tom because we want Tom for ourselves. He's just that dreamy to look at.
I'd take a Rom. He's more my type.
Okay.
I mean, if I'm going to go that way, I'm going to go for the one I want. You know what I'm saying?
Well,
going all the way.
At least we don't have to battle each other. We can agree on one thing at least.
All right. Oof, we got three more characters and we're going to get into your questions. Oh, well, then we're going to tease the interview, which you guys are going to be very excited about. But Kaplan, oof, I'd hate to be her right now, huh?
I know. This lady was put through the ringer this season. Really trying to figure out what is Red doing. We
slow down there, Chief. She kind of put herself through that ringer.
Well, I don't know, because her job, right, is number two or number 2A or 2B, however you want to call it. Her job was to protect Liz and Red's interest in protecting Liz. And for her, she bought into the thing that Red could actually protect her. And at some point, if her job is to protect her boss, then her decision, with Liz's help, to fake the death and try to escape Red was still in Red's best interest. At least she thought so, right? And so when you put that together, you're just sitting there going, yeah, maybe Red's upset with her, but she can probably, because she is as cool and collected as she is, can totally talk him out of the situation of killing her. Like, I didn't betray you. I did what you told. I protected Liz the best way I knew how. And we even said it during season three, right? There was episodes in season three where we thought maybe Red is losing control. Maybe Red doesn't have the situation, you know, completely wrapped up in hand like it seemed in the first two seasons. Like, he didn't know about Ariok Kane at all in that episode. And then he's doing the whole, like, you know, wine and brats dancing in the woods with Michael Royer boat ashore. And Dembe's like, okay, that's enough. Let's get back on the task here. So I think maybe Kaplan did see that the boss was kind of losing it a little bit and she had to step up and take charge. And for that, yes, you might be a little bit insubordinate, but at the same time.
A little bit? That's a whole lot bit. I mean, you know, I get what her mission was, but she still kind of worked for Red. I get fired from my job for doing this. I'm just saying, I would get fired.
But the ultimate goal was to protect Liz, and she thought that's what she was doing. So Red may keep her on a short leash, but I don't think she's going to get killed. She's too cool to kill.
Part of me wants her to get killed just so I can use a hashtag Kaplan. Get it?
Oh, my gosh.
I'm so bad.
Ladies and gentlemen, but Aaron is the corny one for season four. Wow, that just happened.
Shut up. Shut up, dum-dum. But I love the actress. I love what she brings to the table. I love the character, and especially that she actually got more to play with this season. And even though we called what was going to happen, that Kaplan was involved, and she set this up, and yada, 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 it still was a cool twist to me. And I really liked it. I thought it played well. And I love that moment. They were on the plane, right? I love that moment where Red just, you know, what am I going to do with you? And all you're thinking is, man, what is he going to do with her? I love that. I can't wait to see what happens as they develop the character and we get a little bit more. I got a feeling we're going to get a little bit more of her backstory finally in season four.
If she does get capped, as you put it.
It's gonna be in your head. Every time you see her, you're going to be like, Kaplan.
I know.
Huh?
Oh,
no?
Thank you so much for that. So if she does get capped, good, bad, like it, don't like it?
Good or bad? I mean, I don't want the character to get hurt, but I also really like the idea of reminding the audience that Red is not a good guy. He is a, you know, he will do whatever he wants to do in his best interest. He has been completely betrayed in this respect, even if it was for the better. I mean, I don't, can you ever trust her again? Can you ever trust her again? Would you, if you're in Red's shoes, his dapper shoes and his sexy hat, would you ever trust her again?
I would totally trust her again, but it would be one of those conversations of, we need to be on the same page. So you need to inform me, I need to inform you, we need to have an argument and a discussion and then land on a decision together. I think that's where that relationship would be. It can't be do it on your own kind of thing.
Really? So basically, your most trusted confidant fakes your child, or your child, scratch that, please take that out.
Aaron just said he's a father. Daddy
that's
gate. Aaron's on daddy
that's,
gate.
That's, it's not my fault. I was just, oh, that's just the way I was.
Freudian slip. That's what he really thinks, people.
It's not what I think. God, I hate the internet. All right. You know I'm going to get emails for that.
You totally are.
I'm totally going to get yelled at and screamed at. Your most trusted confidant fakes the death of someone you care very deeply about, whatever way you care about them, and lies to you in a manner that is really, really deep-seated and thought out and calculated, and you're going to just be like, well, now we got to be on the same page so we can trust each other again. I don't see Red doing that easy.
It's a long relationship. A long-term relationship with this person.
And that's one of those things. Man, I've had friendships like that. It only takes something that big, and you're like, you know what? Can't trust you no more. We're done. We're donezies. I'm out.
It'll be, it's going to be one of the most dynamic stories, I think, of season four when it kicks off.
I hope they have a conversation and all Red says is, no takebacks. That's what I want. No takebacks. I want to see Red saying no take back. Speaking of Red, let's move on to Mr. Reddington.
Well, and I was going to say, this is the best part of the show, right?
Or let's do whatever Troy wants.
The characters, it'll transition into Red. But the characters, these two characters are so dynamic, and the relationship and how they work together has been so built up over three seasons that more people want to see what happens between Kaplan and Red than want to see this whole Kirk, Liz, Red situation, I think. Like, they're more worried about Kaplan than they are worried about Liz at this point.
I'm not. Whatever happens, happens. I want to know what's going to happen to Liz, because that's the cool element of the story for me. So there are a lot of people that are really concerned for her well-being, yes. But more than Liz, I don't think so. I really don't. I just don't see that.
Well, I think
you
maybe,
and I,
well, maybe they think
we're
going
to agree to disagree because you're wrong.
Well, I just think, like you said, Liz should be able to defend for herself at this point. Her character has grown so much over three seasons.
I agree.
That she should be able to break out on her own and not need Red's help. So I think she's like, oh, Liz will be fine. Either she'll do her profiling and she'll get into the, you know, Constantine's mind, figure out what's going on with the situation and break out on her own, or use it against them to get intel and bring it back to the task force to get back in their good graces, because they're all going to hate her.
I'm afraid season four is going to start with Kaplan getting tossed off on an airplane. That's that's what I'm worried about. Well, all right, let's go to Red.
Cuba's
go
a little far from a Danish house to drop her into. So
it can happen. It can happen. Let's talk about Reddington. So Red, at the end of the season, was betrayed. Horribly betrayed by a lot of people that he trusted, but not Dembe. Dembe's all good. So Kaplan betrayed him. Liz betrayed him, which also begs the question, does she really not want anything to do with him? Because you have that moment in the hospital when she's giving birth where she's very angry with Red. She's like, get out. And we come to find out that after they work this out, then she brings him back in to tell him that she loves him. That's my impression, is what she was saying. I love you, Red. Now, I don't know, was that just manipulative or did she mean it? You know, how would Red take that now that he knows the truth? You know, because at the time, you know how he felt. You know, he was destroyed. You know, he heard that as, you know, you love me. You do respect me. We do have a connection. But now that he knows the truth, does he still feel that way? Does he feel betrayed even more so by Liz, like twice over? How do you feel that's going to go?
That's a really good question.
That's what I'd do, Troy. That's what I'd do.
Red?
I usually ask stupid stuff.
I know. something about the past, right? I think this season is going to be all about learning about that past and that connection between Liz and Red. I don't know what kind of answer we'll get, but I think we'll get something big this season. And I think that no matter what, Red is always going to do whatever he needs to do to protect the memory of Katerina Rostova, whether she's alive or not alive, and all that stuff you can figure it out for yourself. But that promise of taking care of Liz, I think no matter what Liz does, he has to hold to that promise because of what he promised to Katerina. Mm-hmm. On the same side, I think there has to be some kind of arrangement between the two of them if they get out of this situation and they are working together again. Fire and ice, I think, is what the best way to describe it for this season. They're not going to be peas and carrots anymore. Not that they really were, but they kind of had this back and forth. And then at the start of season three, they're like, okay, we're like on the same team and we're good to go and we're on the same page. And then at the end of season three, she's like, you know, you lied to me. Someone is out there looking for me. And it's like, yeah, Liz, they're bad guys. Mm-hmm. You don't want them looking for you. And the question will remain very simple.
First question.
You got one already in. Here you go. My question is, Tom said your father's alive back in season one. At the end of season one, Red says your father is unequivocally dead on those stairs. Someone has to be lying. And the question is, who is it, right?
I think Red's going to realize that he was duped. And he's probably telling the truth to a degree. I think he was doing the whole, I'm trying to protect you. I've been there. I get that. And then, you know, now with his whole Kirk, he seemed to know exactly who Kirk was when Susan Hargrave brought it up. So I think he knows more than he was letting on, but I wouldn't call it a lie. You know, you have to go by the theory. Does he lie to Liz? We believe as a community that he does not. So I would like to think that he's been as honest as he could be with her. So now we get to find out about Kirk. I think he's going to feel horribly betrayed. I think it's going to be a huge debate on if Liz really loved him at all in whatever shape, way, shape, or form you think she loved him. And if that was just a manipulative tactic to get away smooth, to disappear smooth. I'm really curious. As a fan, I don't know how Liz really feels about Red. I'm not sure if she actually hates the man or loves the man, or if it's a combination of both. I don't know exactly how she feels, because I feel like she's been torn this entire relationship, and everything bad that's happened to her in her mind came because of Red Reddington. Once he entered her life, everything went to hell, and everything was great before that. I mean, she was almost a mom and da 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 da. So I'm curious how Red's going to handle that betrayal. I'm curious how it's going to affect their relationship. I'm extremely excited to see how he handles the Kaplan situation. And also, what is he going to do about Agnes? What is he going to do about Liz? What is he going to do about Kirk? I'm most excited about those things, obviously, than I am anything else. I know a lot of people just want to know more about the truth, and I want that too. I mean, yes, I want to know what the relationship, a little bit more about the relationship, but I feel like I know enough to satisfy me for now. I think they gave us a big chunk of stuff last season, even though a lot of people don't want to accept some of it, which is fine. I mean, you're the viewer. You enjoy the show how you want to enjoy it. For me, several of the answers I wanted, I got last season. You know, Cape May answered a lot of questions for me personally.
And set up a few more.
Absolutely. But that's what the best TV shows do. You answer questions while adding more questions. That's just what's going to happen. That's the kind of show it is. And that's what I want to see from Red. I just want to see how he handles it. I don't need a Red's on a rampage. I know a lot of people want that. That's fine. That's not what I want. I want more of the him coming to grips with how he's caused a lot of these repercussions, how he caused Liz needing to get away from him, and how he's going to change the way he does things with her, how he's going to struggle with her true emotions for him, how he's going to realize how he's might be part of the problem. He's not exactly the solution. And some people are like, well, see, I mean, Kaplan got her away from Red and now she's not safe. She wasn't really that safe with Red. So I really don't buy into that whole let's blame Kaplan for her being in danger. I think she was going to be in danger no matter who she was with.
I agree 100%. The thing that we're going to get out of season four, I hope, is that Red is the cause of everything that we're seeing play out.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why he's tried so hard to put the pieces back together because of something he did in the past. And the question is, like he said, I'm the fish. I went into the cave. You know, if I ever get out of that cave, would I recognize the light? Would I recognize the good again? That's what he's been struggling with, right? It is redemption at the end of the day.
See what you did there. Okay, now let's go to the final character, which is Liz. And we probably won't spend a whole lot of time on her because next week you're going to get a whole lot of her. That's right. Megan Boone herself is dropping by The Blacklist Exposed, and we're going to tease her interview in just a second. But she came by the show and talked to us for a lot longer than she intended. We talked a lot about her character and a lot about Megan Boone herself, the actress, which is, I think, a riveting interview. We're going to talk more about that in a second. But what do you think about Liz, the character, at the end of the season, tied up to a chair? She's stripped of her baby. She's stripped of her fake death because now everybody knows she's still alive. So she's got a lot of characters who are probably going to be mad at her when the season starts. She's got Red Reddington, who's on a mission to get her. She's got Tom on the run with or without the baby. We don't know. And she's alone with a man named Alexander Kirk who says, "I'm your daddy."
Yeah, who says, "I'm Konstantin Rostova. I'm your father."
Yeah, well, I'm paraphrasing. I'm your daddy. Luke, I am your father.
Yeah, I was waiting for it to come up.
Yeah.
I was trying to get through it without it. Anyways.
Man, I don't even know if I want to do this with you anymore. You know what? Let's just wrap this show up. We'll just call the podcast a day. We'll be fine.
Yeah, Trey's taking all the fun out of it.
Mm-hmm.
So,
what's up, Captain Buzzkill?
I know.
Where do you want to see Liz go this season?
I want her to see her trust her own gut, right? This whole time she's been like, you know, why won't you tell me? Why are you lying to me? Why are you, why, right? She's a profiler. She mm-hmm. needs to use her skills to assess the situation and figure out for herself what to believe and what not to believe. Like you said, rely on herself to get out of the situation. But I think it's through her profiling skills that she has to do that this season. And almost how does she get back in the graces of her task force friends? Same concept, right? Profile them. Figure out what's their button that's going to get them to respond and come back and see what you did was actually for the greater good or needed to be done. And that's how she kind of wins back their graces. But at the same time, that's an interesting character development because are you manipulating people? And is that not what Reddington has done his entire life up to this point, is using the people's strengths for his whims, I guess is the best word I can come up with. Does that make her even more closer to Red if she does that using her profiling tactics?
Wow. I really like that. I didn't even think about that. So basically she would be manipulative. I respect that. Yeah, I've already talked like
a good daughter would, right?
Or whatever. My God. I know I hope they write you letters. That's what
I didn't say Red's daughter. I just said a daughter. You're the one that said Liz is Red or father and daughter.
I like how you, I didn't mean father or daughter. Look, all right, everybody has their theory. Some people feel that Red is her father, Liz's father. Some people feel that Red is a father figure, that he took on the role of caring for Liz. Like, that was just part of his role because he was in love with Katerina, her mother. Some people feel that he might be an imposter, which I think that theory, I don't see a whole lot of water in that one after Cape May, personally. That's a personal thing. And some people feel well, that they are...
That was a specific type of imposter. He could still be an imposter.
He could. I said, for me personally. I wasn't saying it's definitely gone. I said, for me personally, you know, that's one of those theories where I feel like it got put to bed in that episode. There's also the romantic relationship. Some people want Liz and Red to hook up. You know, there's a lot of different theories out there. My personal one is Ben, that he pretty much is just caring for her because he was in love with her mother. I think he loves her mother. He sees a lot of her mother in her, but I don't see it romantically. If other people do, that's their right. But so that's what we're talking about when we're talking about the different theories. And some people, you know, get mad if we dismiss any. I'm not dismissing any of them because I have my personal theories. You guys have yours, and we'll see what ends up being in the mix. I'm not going to be mad no matter how it goes. I like the show. Perfectly fine either way. This season, I talked a lot about what I want already. I legitimately want Liz to come more into her own. I want her to start teetering with that good and bad balance again. I like the way that they're going. It's really been, from my perception, that they are taking Liz down the same path that Red Reddington went, where he felt no other option but to become the bad guy. Whatever happened to him, that's the option that he felt. And she's getting more and more closer to going full red. And I want to see a little bit more of that. I want to see her teeter with that. We saw her, you know, she shot Connolly. She's done a lot of things. She faked her own death. She has become somewhat duplicitous in that nature. And taking control of her life and taking things back from the people that want to control it for her. And I want to see more of that. I want to see that continue, which is why it's very important to me personally that Liz escapes on her own and does not need anybody. I want them to be shocked that she got out on her own and be like, wow, what have I created? I would love to have a moment where Red goes, oh my God, what have I done? I have led her down this path that I would never want her to follow, and now she's following it. I really would want to see that this season.
Or the more good she tries to accomplish, right? She's still got good in her and wants to do good. Like, what was it? The sheriff or whatever she shot at the bar in season mm-hmm. 3, like taking him to the hospital, and Red's like, we don't have time for that. It's like, okay, fine, I'll take him to the hospital. She has that good in her, but the more good she tries to do, it actually ends up becoming more and more evil at the same time.
Well, and I talked a lot last season about how I don't think babies add anything to TV shows. I've said that I don't know how many times. I know how people feel about it. But the one thing I will say is that what it does add to the character is the strength of a mother. And I think that's an overwhelming, overpowering strength. And
it's a superpower.
It is like a superpower. And I don't say that with any sardonic reference. I'm serious. I see it as a superpower. Because once you become a parent, and this is going to apply to Tom too, once you become a parent, you will do anything to make sure that that child or child figure is safe.
I see what you did there, because you're trying to come on your tracks.
Like that? Yeah, look at that. And I think we're going to see that from Liz and Tom. And I really want to see that from Liz, to where she gets closer to where Red is because she has that maternal instinct. And we might see, maybe, my perspective, that's why Red got to where he is. See what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But you never know.
Never know.
You never know. Don't know where it's going.
It's going
to
be great either way.
Oh, absolutely. And speaking of Liz, next week on this very show, Megan Boone herself drops by to talk to us. We have an interview. I think it's well over an hour long, right? She originally came by to, she was going to talk for 20, 30 minutes, answer some fan questions. And we ended up learning more about Megan than I think I knew about her going into the interview for sure. She is very insightful, very intriguing. She's very just kind. Kind is really the word I would say. She seems like such a decent person. Not Hollywood, not, you know, Troy and I have talked to we've interviewed quite a few people in Hollywood. And I think there are some times where the conversation you get is almost constructed. And that's because, I mean, they're part of a machine. They're promoting their product. You know, they have to be that way to a certain degree. And they end up answering a bunch of the same questions in every interview. I will promise you, this is an interview that is completely different from any you've heard from Megan, because it was very important to us that we got to learn more about Megan Boone, the actress, than just tell us more about your character. We've seen Liz for 3 seasons. We want to know more about Megan Boone, and I think we got that. And she was such a generous person to come by and be open to talking to us about a lot of things. She talked about the show last season and how she got the part and how she as an actress wants to grow as an artist, maybe after whenever the show's done, like what she might do after that, as well as answered some fan questions and a lot of other stuff. She's just a very great interview. I loved it. She's an intriguing, I can't say that enough, an intriguing woman to talk to. It's one of those conversations where by the end of it, I wanted to talk to her more, and not because she's Megan Boone, the actress, but because I really enjoyed talking to Megan. And we want to leave you with a little tease of the upcoming interview, so you believe us, so you know we're not making it up. So, Troy, why don't you play a little clip of our interview?
I took as much control over making Liz strong and a formidable character as I could. And that took time too, because I was new to a show and I didn't know what kind of influence I could have. I'd never had a voice on any other job before. But mm-hmm. once Liz became an essential character to the show, then I started to be able to say, you know, guys, I don't think that she would do this here. And I think that she should know about that a little bit more instead of be oblivious, you know, and because I don't know if you remember, but early on, nobody liked my character.
And the way she solved that is an amazing story you will need to hear next week. So if you have not, be sure to subscribe to this podcast. You can do it in iTunes, Google Play Music, Stitcher, or we have our own apps. Just download the app from the iOS store or Android Marketplace and just search for The Blacklist Exposed. It's going to be a great season. We want you to be with us.
Absolutely. And speaking of you, now it is time to feature all of you in the segment we like to call Special Agent Intel. All right, we've got several fans that sent in some questions they wanted us to answer on this special episode, so now it is time to hit those questions up. Are you ready, Troy?
I'm ready.
Okay, Marilyn wants to know, what the hell you do all summer?
That's a great question. Well, if you talk to my wife, and if you ever saw that MTV show, The Best Week Ever, my wife has literally gone around the house saying that Troy had the best summer ever. And I have to say, it was pretty awesome. Like, I started out the summer. I got to do one thing that I've been wanting to do since mid-1990s, which was go back to Cedar Point, Ohio. It's an amusement park. And mm-hmm. we had this thing with my daughter, because she loves roller coasters, that when she hit 54 inches tall, the minute she hit 54 inches tall, that next summer, whenever that happened, we were going to go to Cedar Point. And we went for 3 days of roller coaster riding fun. It was absolutely beautiful weather. It was the early part of June. Fantastic time. Great relationships made there with her friend and her dad, which is my friend. So we actually spent a lot of time at their summer lake house this summer, too. It was a lot of fun being on the water and boating and tubing and all that good stuff, which was totally a blast. I also watched Mr. Robot this summer. Fantastic TV show. If you like The Blacklist, you'll love Mr. Robot. Very much a thinker. And I can't get enough of Unreal on Lifetime. Yes, I, Troy, a man, watches the Lifetime channel, because Unreal is just some crazy crap that you can't even imagine actually happens.
I'm not surprised, because Troy watches every show on television.
That's right.
Literally every show.
Movies this summer, I saw Secret Life of Pets, Dory, because I have kids, obviously, and I saw Star Trek Beyond and Suicide Squad, and we went to a place called Geekonomicon, which was in Oklahoma City. It was a fantastic weekend experience. We actually raised money as the Golden Spiral Media team, the network that hosts the podcast. We were down there as a team to raise money for multiple sclerosis, the National MS Society. And we had a goal of $2,500, and we blew that out of the water on Saturday. And this was over Labor Day weekend. Plus, we got to talk to a whole bunch of people. Greg Grunberg was there. Glenn Morshower was there. John Noble was there. Adrian Palicki from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and Friday Night Lights was there. Adrian Pasdar from Heroes. Amanda Righetti from The O.C. and Colony. It was just a fantastic weekend. Vincent Ward from The Walking Dead was there. I got to talk to all of them and hang out. It was just a really, really fun weekend, and we did it for a really good cause. And I survived the biggest earthquake in Oklahoma State history, 5.6.
You won't stop telling people this story. It was like a 5-point something. It wasn't like even a real earthquake.
It's the biggest earthquake in Oklahoma State history.
Did you see anything fall from the house you were in?
I did not see anything fall, but...
Yeah, it wasn't really a big
earthquake. True story. 7 o'clock in the morning is when it happened on a Saturday, Labor Day weekend, and I was sleeping on a couch, and I literally lurched almost off of the couch. That's what woke me up. And then as I kind of sat up and tried to figure out where I was, it sounds like a tank is rolling through the living room is what it sounds like and what it feels like. And you can actually see like the cabinet doors open and closing and open and closing. I actually saw a cup on the counter and actually dance on the counter probably a good 5 inches from left to right. It was pretty freaky for someone that doesn't experience earthquakes.
You're a hero. Boy, you're a hero. Just get your cape and you're good to go.
I ride the rock, man. Surf away.
No, it's very cool. And Troy did have a pretty awesome summer. Taking all the awesome stuff from me. That's what he did. Son of a bitch.
Well, and the fun part is that we said that we were going to do podcast vacation this summer, right? We did a lot with the podcast last year. A lot with all of our podcasts, right? With the Holly Outsider and Remake the Three, right? And I felt like I still talk to you every week. I don't know what we were doing with the remake, this Movie Right podcast, but man, we were like doing something every week with that show.
Yeah, we were. We were banking some episodes because we're going to have a lot of stuff going on in the fall.
Yes, we are.
So, are you done? I mean, are you done telling everybody how awesome your summer was?
Yeah, you can talk about your awesome summer.
It wasn't nearly as awesome, unfortunately. So, I've done The Hollywood Outsider like I've done for the last 5 or 6 years. Whatever it is, that's the podcast at thehollywoodoutsider.com. And one of our longtime hosts left there in July, the end of July, Brian Williams. So, we had a very bittersweet summer. That was kind of a big deal for our show. And we talk about movies and TV and whatnot, but it's more of a broad spectrum where this is very focused on one show. We do Remake This Movie Right, which is where we take a movie that's being remade, we talk about it, we reshape it and create what us, the fans, would want from a remake. So it's a very fun show, and we had a lot of cool guests come by. Screenwriter S.S. Wilson came by again on an upcoming episode. He wrote Tremors. He wrote Short Circuit. And we had Jason Kabasi from the Walking Dead cast. He came by and we did a Logan's Run remake. We've done a lot of those and a lot of fun episodes. So definitely check that out. And Westworld, and that's remakethismovieright.com. And Westworld, we started a new podcast, a Blacklist-like podcast, where we're going to follow the HBO series Westworld. It's called Beyond Westworld.
Because 90 minutes of Troy and Aaron isn't enough each week. You got to get another 90 minutes of us.
Yeah, and this one has androids, which is all Troy ever wants Woo-hoo! To have on any show ever, are androids.
I've never said I wanted androids on Blacklist, for the record.
Yes, you have. I'm almost positive you have. Let's go listen to every episode real quick and we'll come back.
Sure.
But trust me, Troy wants androids on the Blacklist. So so there's that. And so we're looking forward to that. That should be a lot of fun. And then personally, I went to Yellowstone. This is a trip that's been in the making for a decade. Every year I go backpacking with some close friends twice a year because it's a time to detach and it's a time to reflect, and you can't take any devices with you. And we've always planned on, let's go to Yellowstone. Let's do a trip where we go to Yellowstone and just enjoy it and just check it out. And we actually planned it for a couple of years. Finally took the trip, went out, spent a week in Yellowstone. It was fantastic. We drove out, camped, drove back. It was absolutely everything you could imagine. If you've never been, I recommend everybody take your family, go by yourself, whatever you want to do. But definitely see Yellowstone once in your lifetime if you're into nature and if you're into the outdoors. Just beautiful. I mean, it's very hard to not have, man, to just not realize. You will realize what an ant in the world you are when you go to a park like that. And you'll also realize how stupid people are because they just run up and start trying to touch animals.
Yeah, hug bison.
Dangerous. Bison, bear. I saw a woman try to go up and talk to a bear. I'm like, woman, you deserve to be eaten right now. And I really wish she would have been, but unfortunately, the bear was better than she was. So that's what I did. And then this is the story that makes me want to punch Troy in the face from earlier. Is that when I got back, the day I got back from the most wonderful trip I think I might have ever taken outside of Hawaii.
Hiking and walking for over a week.
Hiking in one of the biggest national parks with the biggest inclines and declines of any national park in the country.
The most danger. The most danger you could possibly be in.
Yep. Wild animals everywhere. Bears are everywhere. Grizzly bears, which are actually really dangerous. Black bear, just raise your voice. They kind of run away. That's right. They're afraid of me. But grizzly bear, they scare the hell out of you. I come back, I get back, I was tired, I knew better, but I went for a run. I like to run. So I went for a jog around our local state park, and I was almost done, and there was a mother with her two kids on the shoreline. There's a giant lake. They were on the shoreline. And this mom kept leaving these two kids, like, to go talk on the phone, which is a pet peeve. You know, you have little children, keep an eye on them, love them, don't let them die, is kind of an important task of a parent. As we're going to find out from Liz this season. And so I'm running by and these kids are right by the shoreline. She's over there. I did what every runner, whoever runs a wooded path, knows not to do. I took my eyes off the path to look at those kids to see if they were okay. I'm trying to paint this story so I don't sound as dumb as I was. And in that maybe two seconds, I hit a root and did a full split back front, left leg in front, right leg and back, and tore my hamstring, ripped a thigh muscle, and was basically bedridden for 2 months. Yeah, that was my summer. While Troy is having the most awesome summer ever, I'm basically watching a lot of Netflix. Yeah, that part sucked.
Which is also a pretty good summer, too, depending on what's on Netflix at the time.
No. Trust me, when you're not sure if you're going to walk again, it doesn't really matter what Netflix has to offer. The selections didn't bother me at all. It was a very, very... one of the hardest summers I can remember, honestly. And it was very mentally stressful. And nobody wants to hear, you know, me whine about it. But that's what I did. But flipping back to a positive, and when I started to feel better, I healed just in time to take a vacation with my best friend. We've been friends for how old? 35 years, something like that. I mean, since I was a little kid. And we were able to take a vacation together. Our families were able to take a vacation together to Florida, which we haven't done since we were 21. And we went to Florida. Actually, we went to the same place. We went to Florida. And it ended up being a great recovery from a really bad summer. So it ended up great, but there was a couple months in the middle where I was not having a great time. Okay, that's what we were doing this summer. I think we talked to you guys' ear off about that. So let's go to the next question, which is more about Troy, because that's what we care about. Troy, Suzanne wants to know, tell us about LA.
What about LA?
Okay, let's move on then. Yeah.
So something really great happened for us for the podcast this year, which was we got a phone call from Sony Pictures Television that puts out The Blacklist. They're responsible. They're the producers of the show. And they said, hey, we're doing this 22-minute show with commercials, 30 minutes, to put out for promoting season 4 to the entire international market. And maybe NBC will buy it and show it locally. And can you come out in a week to interview John Bokenkamp and John Eisendrath and be part of this experience? Unfortunately, they only could have one of us come because of budgets and all of that stuff. So I asked Aaron, it's like, can you get off work? I can get off work. And so Aaron said, graciously, yeah, go ahead and do it. Blacklist is bigger for you.
Hey, with a caveat that if we go again next year, I'm getting this on the air.
Yes.
Caveat that if it happens again next year, I'm going next year.
That's right.
So remember that, John. You call me. I'm going next year.
And, We get out to LA, and basically that was it. We interviewed John and John for about an hour and a half. We talked about the run of the show. We talked about season 3. We kind of teased season 4. We asked your questions. So if any of those questions over the summer were a little bit cryptic in the Facebook group, like, hey, where's all the international people? And hey, if you had one question to ask the producers, what would you ask? That's why, because we used all of your stuff to ask questions of John and John when we were there in LA. They added all of that up with some stuff from New York as well with the cast. And it's a 22-minute TV special, which any day now they're going to hopefully release on NBC.com so that you can all see it and see me on television.
Do you feel like a rock star?
It was kind of cool watching it, I have to say. Yeah, at the time doing the actual interview and just hanging out with John and John, it was just great to be there and just be like, wow, you know, they respect us. They feel like we've enhanced the brand of The Blacklist. We're part of the show. We're part of the family, which is an extension to all of you at the same time, because we do this for you guys, the fans. So to know that they want to hear from you and be that closely tied to you, I think is fantastic, right? Because they could have somebody from Entertainment Weekly or Variety or any of those people. They called us and had us come out. I thought that was a really, really cool testament of how much the writers respect the fans.
Especially since we're not always, I mean, positive. There are storylines we have issues with when we talk about them.
Yeah, good half of season 2, right?
Yeah, we just don't, like, I just don't feel the need for us to be blatantly negative. You can talk about things you didn't like in a constructive way. It doesn't have to be all internet hate and tweet hate and everything else that people do.
So yeah, so went out to LA and filmed a TV show with the producers of The Blacklist. So thank you so much for the experience to Sony and to John and John. Fantastic time. And because of that, I think we have some really cool stuff for you guys lined up for season 4.
I'm still jealous and bitter. It's really what I am. So I hope you got on a plane and you sat next to the smelly guy. That's what I hope.
I actually did.
Good.
In the last row of the plane that did not recline.
My pettiness knows no bounds. Yes. I really hope that someone reclined their seat into you. You could not recline and you sat next to a smelly guy. That's what I hope you
got.
And
it caused
me
to do the splits and tear a hamstring because of it.
No, I wish that on no one.
Well, at least there is some good left in you.
I will tell you, man, because I'm a football guy. I love football. And I'm not a big, yo, sports, bro. I'm not like that at all. But I do like genuinely like football. And I've always been a guy that was very sympathetic to players, but I will never give anybody ever – if I ever hear anyone gives a player a grief because he can't play because of a hamstring, I will defend that player till the ends of the earth because now I know exactly what it feels like.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that don't make you a man. That makes you stupid to play with that. All right. Carol wants to know, who are our top blacklisters? And is there a blacklister you want to see return? Well, so we're going to do, yeah, we're going to do our top five. Troy, who's your top five?
My number five is Frederick Barnes. And the reason why is because I feel, as a father, personally, that he was doing everything he could for his son to heal him. Granted, he went about it the completely wrong way, but I can understand and sympathize with the character. And I think that is something that is very strikes a chord with me, as I probably might actually do the same thing if that happened to my son. So, yeah, I really like that. It touched me as a story.
My number five was Marvin Gerard because he was fun. It's Fisher Stevens. I like Fisher Stevens. I like Short Circuit, where he played an Indian when he's not Indian. And it was a fun episode, and it wasn't your typical blacklister. It was something a little different, a little unique, and it's actually part of a plan for good, kind of.
It wasn't
so
because
I liked that episode.
It wasn't because you had your refrigerator store installed at your house?
No, it wasn't. I was just a fan of that episode. I thought it was a fun episode.
Number four for me was Berlin. I like the entire saga. Love Peter Stormare. I think he's a great creepy character, even when he's on Russian space station.
Well done, sir.
Thank
well
you.
Done.
Yeah, great story, great concept, but you know, I couldn't put him up higher because here's a guy who's been chasing Red his entire life without asking the one single question, were you actually responsible for the death of my daughter? Oh, wait, you weren't. That's a lot of energy wasted, so that's why he's lower on the list, but still a great blacklister.
Number four for me is Luther Braxton. Love me some Ron Perlman. I just really dug that. That was an action-packed return that they did. Remember, that's the one after the Super Bowl?
Yep, yep.
And it was a really super fun, super great episode. And Ron Perlman was a great bad guy. I wanted more of him. He's one of the few blacklisters I wanted, because I kind of like that they're caught at the end and we move to another one and we get fresh perspective. But that's definitely one that I would have liked to have seen return.
All right. Number three, the Stewmaker. Who doesn't love the Stewmaker? They actually have shirts, I found out, at the NBC store for the Stewmaker specifically.
Do they really?
Yeah. Gas mask kind of thing, you know, that Stanley Cornish was wearing. I love the fact that it was just so creepy, right? The plastic up across the place, disintegrating bodies, you know, out in the woods, middle of nowhere. Liz first time completely, totally in danger with nobody coming to help her. Such a great episode. Stewmaker would be my number three.
My number three would be Berlin. You already talked about Berlin. But same thing, Peter Stormare, I'm a big fan. Prison Break, I loved him on Prison Break.
Oh, yeah.
And he's, and also, oh, what was the Nick Cage, eight millimeter? Eight millimeter, yeah, the Nick Cage movie. He's just a great, creepy guy, and I realize that's all he ever plays. I kind of feel bad for him. He's typecast, but he's great at it, so let it roll.
He's probably a super sweetheart in real life.
I'm sure he is. I'm sure he's a nice guy.
Number two for me is Tom Connolly. Yes, even though we were all confused by the title of the episode being released as Masha Rostova and then found out it was Tom Connolly when it aired.
We were duped, son.
Duped, we were. I think this was a great... we actually met Tom Connolly when we were doing a rewatch back in season one during the Judge episode. Totally forgot about that. And just seeing his character and how swirmy and slimy he was the entire time to Cooper. And then, of course, getting at the end and the conversation they're having in that ballroom, like, I'm just super awesome and you can't hurt me. And then Liz pulls the trigger. Amazing, amazing job. Connolly, smiling Tom Connolly, as we called him, would be my number two.
My number two is the Djinn. I thought that was a fantastic episode. A really deeply psychological take on a character. Which, you know, a lot of times I think in the blacklist, a lot of these are just, let's see how bad and creepy we can make them. Where in the Djinn, I really think they took it to a different level and made something that was very much a conversation about the state of certain people and a group of people that have a hard time, and also parental expectations and things like that. And there's a lot going on in that episode. I think they handled it well. They handled it tastefully. And, you know, when you get to find the big reveal, you're just sitting there going, holy crap. I can't believe they did that. And they pulled it off. And they didn't cause a whole lot of outrage and everything else because I think they tried to handle it as tastefully as they could. It's definitely a favorite of mine.
All right. Number one. Drum roll, please. I'm with the gin for everything that Aaron just said. The gin episode is probably one of the episodes I talk about the most out of any TV show I've ever watched. You know, Cape May is up there too, obviously. But the gin, I come back to the gin quite frequently. We even talk about the gin in the Megan Boone interview. Mm-hmm. The gin is something that I don't think I ever saw coming on television. Like, maybe there was, like, the duplicitous nature of, you know, the Alice character versus the real gin. Like, yeah, I've seen that done before. But when it was, like, the whole sex change thing, that sound you heard during the show, that was my jaw hitting the floor. Like, holy crap, did they just pull that off? It sticks with me to this day. Such a powerful, powerful episode and so well done. Kudos to everybody that worked on that episode.
Yeah. I still wish Jin would have gotten away, though. I do. Just because it's such a tortured character. You know?
Still did really bad stuff, though.
Yeah, but you get it. By the time it was over, I'm like, man, I get it. I get where you're coming from. I get where you're coming from. My number one, Tom Connelly. Tom Connelly. Man, I love Smiling Tom Connelly. Really missed him when Liz shot him. So he's my favorite for two reasons. One, I think it was just such a great job. That character was played to the hilt. I really enjoyed exactly how they did the twist. I mean, where we really debated him for a long time. Like, is he good? Is he bad? We did all that, and we weren't sure. I mean, would you admit that you weren't 100% sure until they finally revealed it?
Three episodes left in the season, I still thought he was on the up and up.
Yep, yep.
Really well.
Absolutely. And Reed Birney is the guy that played Tom Connelly. He did a great job, missed him. But the second reason why I love that episode is because that's the episode where Liz went to a different level. She straight up murdered him. And I know Troy, you know, season three, he tried to justify that. You can't justify. She shot an unarmed man, period. And so it was a red action. That was her switch to becoming more like Reddington. And I thought that was a great turn for the character. It was a great end for that character as well. So I just love that episode. It was great.
Yep. All right.
All right.
So who's the one blacklister you want to see return?
Oh, Wendy wants to know that, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Carol. No, you skipped Linda.
No, it's still Carol. Carol wanted to know if there was one that you wanted to come back.
Oh, I'm sorry. I jumped ahead.
You did.
One character that I want to return, Alistair Pitt, because I love Tony Shalhoub.
Wasn't he dead, though?
Shut up. You ask me a question, that's my answer. They fake deaths all the time on the show, man. Let's go.
That's Aaron wanting androids back, because that's the only way he's returning.
Whatever. I want Alistair Pitt back. I love Tony Shalhoub, man.
I keep going back to Vanessa Cruz. She's out there, and I thought she was really interesting with her whole, like, you know, dressing herself up as other people and kind of melding into stuff, and she could easily show up this season, and you wouldn't even know it was her.
What about Gina Zanitakos?
Oh, man. Anytime Gina's on there is great. Margarita's awesome. Loved her in everything she's done. She's played that character super, super well. Yeah, if she shows up, that'd be great. You know?
Red's wife.
Oh, but Naomi wasn't a blacklister.
That's true. Yeah, she did specify blacklister. Okay. Yep. All right, fine. Blacklister.
Vanessa Cruz is mine.
All right. Well, Linda wants to know the schedule and plans for the podcast this season.
Oh, man.
That's Troy's question.
The schedule is very simple. As far as we know, NBC has Thursday Night Football starting November 17th. So it's going to be 8 episodes starting September 22nd straight through. So that means Thursday nights at 10, 9 Central, watch the show. Saturdays, again, we'll have the podcast out in the feed, barring any kind of weird work stuff or family stuff going on. And that'll be 8 weeks, and then we'll go away a little bit for the holidays, for Thanksgiving, Christmas here in the States, and then we'll be back, I'm assuming, right away January, that first Saturday in January, because the spinoff is going to be the first 8 weeks of the year, the Ryan Eggold Show, and we're going to do it right here in this same feed if everything is looking the way it's supposed to, which is 8 episodes of the spinoff standing alone by itself. And then the blacklist will return for another 14 to finish off the season straight through. So January to June, man, it's going to be a very long stretch of blacklist.
Yeah, we might have some subs in there. So
yes, we will.
That's a very, very long time to go for any podcast. So there'll probably be some subs, but either Troy or I will be here every week. And we'll be here for the regular show for the most part. So
for sure.
Yep. Wendy wants to know who we would like to guest star on the show, and would they be a goodie or a baddie?
You go Troy? First.
Robert Downey Jr., without
awesome
a doubt.
Awesome choice. Yeah,
that is my number one choice, and I think there's actually a possibility it could happen. Jane Spader and Robert Downey Jr., they go way back from the 80s. They were in a movie called Less Than Zero. I just love their dynamic. I think they play off each other well, and especially with Andrew McCarthy kind of directing some of these episodes, just think that would be a full Less Than Zero reunion, and I would love to see that. So my pick, Robert Downey Jr., would he be a goodie or a baddie? I want him to be a bad guy. I want him to be a blacklister. I don't think he would do more than one episode, so let's go all the way. Let's make him somebody. Let's go against the Downey Jr. character. Let's make him sadistic. Let's make him evil. Let's just play with him. Let's have fun with him. That's what I would do.
All right. Well, I said, and this isn't because I just talked to him this past weekend, Glenn Morshower, in the interview I had with him, said specifically that his bucket list was to play the President of the United States, a flamboyant gay character, and a bad guy. And I was like, ooh, like I perked up right away. I was like, dude, Glenn Morshower on The Blacklist would be fan-freaking-tastic. So,
and he is more of a character actor, so who is he for people that might not know?
Oh, yeah, so
name.
Glenn Morshower, you might have recognized him as what is it, Special Agent, Secret Service, Aaron.
He was Aaron on
24. Yeah,
really? You struggled remembering that name?
Well, I remembered he was Aaron. I just didn't know if it was, what do you call the Secret Service head guy? But yeah, he was basically the bodyguard for President Palmer on 24.
Secret Service,
yep. And then he was Landry's dad on Friday Night Lights, and you've seen him as the Colonel in Transformers 1 and the General, under a different completely name, in Transformers 2 because he dies in the first movie.
Gotcha.
So that was kind of interesting how he explained how that worked out. Yeah, but totally character actor, could completely play a blacklister, and I think that would be way super awesome.
Marta wants to know, what are your theories about how Tom will transition to the spinoff?
Ooh, good question. Tom is going to find Liz, find the baby, but for some reason, in order to protect Liz and the baby, has to go away. Something about his past is going to haunt them. Maybe the whole first 8 episodes of The Blacklist this season is about clearing the name, and we get some of the answers we've been looking for, which sets up new stories. But for Liz to be completely safe with the baby, Tom has to disappear. And that's how Tom has to move over to work for Scotty rather than have Scotty hunt him down.
Okay. Yeah, that's a tough one. I'm really looking forward to seeing how they handle it, honestly. But I think is that you're going to have to have something where probably Tom will just go away, and he'll probably say something on the blacklist like, I've got to do this to make some money for us or to help clear something up, whatever it is. It'll be something simply explained so they can remove him from the show for a little bit. Because I do think he'll be out of the actual blacklist for a few episodes.
I'm sure it'll be something romantic. Like, they'll finally get together in like episode 8. And it's like, oh, Liz, I'm so glad you're safe, blah, 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 blah. And Liz will be like, Liz, guess what? I found my mom. It's like, when then Liz will be like, oh, well, you got to take care of that and figure that out and make sure she knows who you are. And boom, then they'll be on the spinoff.
Yeah, that could be. Or it could be something that I need to, people keep coming after me, I got to go find out what's going on. And that's where it transitions to him on redemption.
Yep, yep.
And he investigates things as he goes. I could see that. Linda with an eye, I've got two more and we're done. Linda with an eye wants to know what Red's reaction to Lizzie will be.
How could you be so stupid? I've told you time and time again, there are people that are looking for you and hunting you down. Are you finally going to listen and believe me? And Liz is going to be like, no, I'm not.
I think he's going to say, Liz, I love, and then walk away. That's what I think.
You galilees. Well played, sir.
That's
well played.
What I think.
Well played.
Serious answer, man. I mean, I think he'll be mad, but I also think she's become a character that's very, she's a lot stronger, and he's obviously realized that she's not going to deal with his crap anymore. So he's going to have to be straight up with her and give her some answers to keep her invested in him at all. And I think he's going to actually play it a lot cooler than we think he will.
Cool.
That's what I think. Linda with a Y wants to know, is there any thought to podcast traveling options to do live viewing parties?
Man, I would so love to do that. especially after this past weekend when we were at Geekonomicon, because it was so cool hanging out with the fans and and doing that. But of course, there's a financial thing that goes with that. So, I mean, I don't want to say that we'll put up like a Patreon or something or a GoFundMe or something like that right now. But if that's something you guys really want to see happen, then let us know in the Facebook group. That's facebook.com/group/theblacklistGSM. Just search for The Blacklist Exposed and you'll find it. Or ping us on Twitter at TheBlacklistGSM or drop it into feedback@goldenspiralmedia.com. Let us know if you're game for that, then that's something you guys want to see happen. You'll have to tell us, obviously, you know, the state or city that you live in country, in the United States, or what country you're in if you're abroad. And then if there's enough interest in it, then yeah, we'll set up some kind of fund me type situation and we'll see if we can make it happen.
Yeah, I do think we're probably going to do a live viewing party for the finale, the fall finale, or we're going to try to. We're going to see what schedules allow to go to Elgin, so Chicago area.
Yeah, definitely because if there's something in Chicago, we'll set something up because we have a place that we can do a live viewing party here locally in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so traveling,
we might be doing
we'll
that.
Need some funding. So we'll see what happens. So yeah, if that's something you guys want, you want us to come to Seattle or Dallas or New York or wherever, obviously New York, right? Because I mean, check out the set as well.
That would be fun. That would be fun.
Yeah, just let us know. Again, at the Blacklist GSM, feedback@goldenspiralmedia.com, or, of course, The Blacklist Exposed on Facebook. Let us know if you're interested, and we'll set up a FundMe account for that.
Look at Troy begging for dollars.
Hey, if the fans speak, the fans speak.
That's there you go. There you go. We'll probably be there. I would love to go to New York just so I could. But I want to be a blacklister. You know what? Here's what I want this season. Can we have a blacklister named Aaron Heinrichs or Troy Peterson? Can we get that?
Troy Peterson. That sounds much better. My last name is horrible.
I don't know, man, because then you could have like a German. You could have Aaron Heinrichs would be like a German blacklister.
May still tie into the show, right? The Germans are still out there.
It could see. There you go. Man, look at this. We are coming up with ideas. We are solving story problems right now here on The Blacklist Exposed.
Yeah, we are.
But that's going to do it for this episode. So it's going to conclude. Please be sure to follow us all season. I almost said a different word, but I transitioned into all. Did you catch that?
It sounded more like y'all.
That's right. Come on, follow us, y'all, all season on Twitter, @TheBlacklistGSM, where we live tweet during the East Coast feed, and we use the show's #TheBlacklist. We also have a Facebook group. Like Troy just said, just search for The Blacklist Exposed and join us for the fun.
If you're just checking us out for the very first time here on Season 4, make sure you subscribe to the podcast in iTunes or Google Play Music. 3 seasons of amazing content are there waiting for you to listen as you prepare or even wait over the Christmas holiday break for the spinoff to come up. You can even download our apps. Yes, we have an app. iOS, Android. We thought of both camps, just like we think of all the theory camps equally here on the show. So make sure you get the app. The Blacklist Exposed is what you want to search for in the app stores.
Really, season 2 is where it started getting amazing. Just my opinion.
It did. The fan feedback show, that episode 27, still one of the more highly downloaded episodes of the entire podcast.
Really?
Yes.
That's good to know.
Rory and Bill. Go back and listen. It was pretty fantastic.
Oh, I love those guys. Remember, you can get all the intel and analysis for this or any podcast, including season 1, by visiting theblacklistexposed.com. Or if you're a fan of the YouTube, subscribe to our channel to get your podcast fix over there.
Yeah, we should mention we might be doing some video stuff this year, like test the waters a little bit.
Yeah, we're going to probably do an immediate reactions to the premiere, and we'll see where that goes. We'll see if people like it. We're not going to do it every week. I'm not going to do it every week.
It's late. Hey, man, it's like 10 o'clock at night. It's late.
Are you like 85 years old? My God, man.
Day jobs.
I just don't want to do it every week. Nobody wants to see this face. You know, there's a reason why I do audio. You know what I mean? I sound better than I look.
Especially after your face smashed into the ground.
Yes. Yeah, well, my face didn't even hit the ground, man, but I did the full splits. Trust me. My body's never done that in its entire life. I'm not a gymnast.
There you go. Don't forget to answer our profiling question of the week. Mr. Aaron, I'll give it to you, sir.
Who is the bigger dum-dum, Troy or Aaron? No, I'm just kidding. If you could get the answer to just one question this season, just one, what question would it be? And Troy, I told you, I'm going to call you on the carpet. What is your answer?
My one answer that I want is... Is Katerina Rostova really alive or dead? I don't care who Katerina Rostova is, but after Kate May, there's this thought that she might still be alive. You never know. Is she truly alive or dead? I want that answer.
That's really good. I want the answer to the Cooper and Red connection.
The Kuwait stuff.
The Kuwait story. Yeah, that's what I want. The one question I want answered is the Kuwait question.
Very good. Very good.
All right.
All right, Megan Moon. Megan Moon next week.
Next week, buddy. Oh my God. You're gonna love it. You're gonna love it. You're gonna love it. So come back and check that out next week. That's gonna be our kickoff to the premiere coming on September 22nd.
Thanks, guys. We'll see you later. Until next time, I'm Agent Troy Heinrichs. That's at Troy Heinrichs on Twitter. And if you want to learn more about me, just visit, well, about.me/Troy Heinrichs.
And I'm Agent Aaron Peterson. You can hear me talking about movies and TV on the Hollywood Outsider podcast, as well as Remake This Movie Right. We are available at thehollywoodoutsider.com or on Twitter at @H_Outsider. Be sure to subscribe, download the app, submit your feedback, but most importantly, keep yourself off of
the blacklist.
The Blacklist Exposed is a Golden Spiral Media production. Find more of our great podcasts at goldenspiralmedia.com/podcasts.